We're continuing our series through the summer. Ricky and I are going to be looking at some basics, some Bible basics, some fundamentals. Because inevitably, if you skip out on the fundamentals, if you just focus on the technical details and not focus on the foundation of what it is that you know and what you believe, oftentimes we end up making mistakes. That's the principle in sports. When you don't focus in basketball on the dribbling and the passing and the layups, you end up losing the game because you're trying to be too fancy with the techniques. Sometimes we need to slow down and go back to the fundamentals, to the basics of what it is that we believe. And for my time with you, I'm looking at the difference. There are things in life that look really similar, at least at face value, but when you apply some wisdom discerning the difference between them, you see that there's a noticeable difference between truths that exist in life. And we looked last week at the difference between man's traditions and God's words. And today we're looking at the church. And if I were to ask you, when you hear the word church, what comes to mind? It's fascinating, isn't it? For some people, when they use the word church, they think of a place. I left my jacket at the church. For some people, it's an activity. What are you doing today? Well, I'm going with my family, and we're going to church. And so it's used as maybe a collective way of describing worship or our time together. For some people, it's the people. Let's bring it before the church. I need to announce it to the church. We're going to assemble with the church, and it's used to describe the people collective here. What's obvious today is that there's this identity confusion as to what the church really is and what it is as Christ intended it to be. So our goal today, if you got your bulletin or some notes we're going to be writing down, we're going to a lot of places, and we're going to go fast because we're going to go to Bible class on time today. But we're going to journey through what does this word church mean? How is it used? And then as you see on the screen, what is the difference between the universal and the local church? And maybe you're already thinking there, why does any of this matter to me today? Why do I need to know this at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning? And we're going to get to all that here within our timeline. So we're looking here, we're starting in Matthew chapter 16, the first time the word church appears on the pages of God's inspired word. Matthew 16 and verse 18, it says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The word church there, the word in Greek is the word ekklesia. Simply defined, it is assembly that is called out. Now, it doesn't have to be a religious group. And so if someone pulls a fire alarm in a building, that alarm is calling everyone inside of that building outside of the building. It is calling you out. Our children, when they go back to school at about 2 or 3 p.m., there's a bell that goes off, and it is calling them to exit the classrooms and to leave the building, to go home. That's what the word means. It is a calling out of an assembly. If we're going to define it, maybe a right way of saying it today is that the church is Jesus called out people. That's what the church is, a called out people. Let's look at some references. Let's make sure we get this through God's definition, through God's terms. And so in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the idea. He called us out of darkness and called us into a new relationship, into a new way of life, into a new purpose. You see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son. Out of slavery into sin, we are called into a relationship, into a fellowship with Jesus. We are called, as Paul would say in the book of 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, through the gospel, the good news. When it is preached, when it is taught, it is calling sinners to leave that life, to leave that way, and to come and to assign themselves, to surrender themselves to Jesus, calling them out of darkness into light. And Paul would say in Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body called. All those who have surrendered, all those who have heard the message, all those who have obeyed are people who have heard the calling of Jesus to leave their life of sin and to follow after him. Simple definition, write it on the page. What does church mean? It is Jesus called out people. That's what the church is. Now, there's more to this. The word church can be used in two different ways throughout the scripture. I want to point out two. There was the title of the sermon. That's where we're going to go today. One of the ways the word church is used today is in a universal sense, universal. What that means is there is sometimes that word church, that word ecclesia is used to describe all of Jesus called out people everywhere. All the called out people. Not in one location, not in one city, but every person who has been called out and obeyed that gospel message. There's times that that word church is used so broadly, it's used to describe all of the called out people. Let me give you some references. We got Colossians 1 verse 18, that Christ is the head of the body, the church. All of his body, every member, every person, everyone who has surrendered to that gospel message. That is all the saved people everywhere. We have Acts 20 verse 28. Paul says, pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Well, which church did Jesus pay for with his blood? The church at Ephesus? The church at Jerusalem? No, he paid for every single person. Every saint that would obey that gospel message is the one he paid for with his blood. That church of God is talking about all the saved people everywhere. Acts 2 and verse 47. When Peter and the apostles were preaching that good news message, it says that the people were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What did he add them to? That Jerusalem church? No, he added them to the number, the grand total of all the people anywhere who were obeying the gospel message, called out of darkness into light. And we might put one more up there from Ephesians 4 and verse 4, that there is one body. One body. Well, what is that body? Well, it is a collection. It is an assembly. It is a people, collective of people everywhere, in every nation, in every tongue, everywhere, who have surrendered, who have obeyed, who have been called out of darkness and are living, following King Jesus. So there's a sense, you see it on the board, that sometimes that word church is used to describe saved people everywhere, everywhere. Then there are times that it's used really specifically. It's used in a local way. That is, it's used to describe all of Jesus' called out people in a specific location. In your Bibles, go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Not going to be on the screen. It's going to be in Revelation chapter 2. Sometimes that word church, ecclesia, is used to describe the called out people in one place. One specific location. And so we know as we read the book of Revelation that this book has a specific audience. It says in Revelation 1 and verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Let's just go through them fast. You see it here, specific local groups. 2 and verse 1, to the angel at the church in Ephesus. 2 and verse 8, to the angel at the church in Smyrna. Verse 12, the angel to the church in Pergamum. Verse 18, the angel to the church in Thyatira. Chapter 3 and verse 1, the angel to the church in Sardis, and verse 7, to the angel in the church in Philadelphia. Verse 14, to the angel in the church in Laodicea. Collective groups of God's people in one specific location, one specific place. I really like the language of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. I want you to notice, there were people who heard the gospel message when it was preached, and they all came together. They came together with a common faith in the Lord who sanctified, the Lord who washed away their sins, the Lord who died for them. They came together with a common assembly, with a common purpose of surrendering their lives to this Lord, the common obedience and devotion, their Lord and ours. They came together with the common purpose of calling on the name of the Lord, the worship and the work together with this Lord, and they came together in one place under a common oversight. It wasn't a church everywhere. It wasn't a church in all of Macedonia. It was one specific city led by some specific shepherds with a specific work and a specific way and a specific town. Sometimes that word church is used to describe saved people in one place. And so all throughout if you looked at a map in the first century, all throughout these different towns, you would see churches. Churches in Corinth, church at Jerusalem, church in Ephesus, church at Rome. And we use words like this. They were independent. They were autonomous. They did their work for the Lord on their own. They were not connected in any kind of an And I would tell you, I practiced, that word's not going to come out. I'm just going to tell you now. In an organized kind of manner. That's as good as I'm going to get that word today. There's no headquarters. There's no sister church. They had one head, and that was Christ. The only organization that they had was that which Jesus put in place, and that was saints, elders, and deacons. And that was it. There was no dogmas, there was no creeds, there was no man's book. The only thing that was taught and preached was what the apostles had taught, given to them by Jesus, and that was it. Each church independent, each church looking to Jesus, each church following the example of Jesus. They're not interconnected, no headquarters, just simple, independent, autonomous churches. Now, this kind of concept, this kind of outlay on the screen looks really different than what you see on the religious map today in the world. Because what you see today in the world looks a lot like this, where you have systems of organizations and hierarchy and relationships. We have that word on the screen for a reason. The word denomination describes most of modern religion across the world, especially in America. My friend Jason Harden, who preaches at Indiana, gave a great lesson on denominations not long ago, and he defined it this way, that a denomination is associations of congregations that have a common heritage. And maybe if we're going to break it down a little more than that, that they are groups united by a creed or a confession or a set of bylaws overseen by a governing figure or conference or convention. That's what you see a lot of today. Churches who are all interconnected like a web, and they all look up to a different hierarchy, that there are people in churches and conferences over them telling them what to do and what to practice and what to believe. And there's governing heads and bodies all organizing this system that man has created in religion. Now, I want to take you back a little bit. I want to take you back to middle school English class. And let's just do a simple exercise. Please don't grade me too hard, Miss Kay. This is 9 a.m. Jordan's been out of class for a while. But let's walk through some simple English. It's on your note cards right there. Singular nouns. And so if you saw this, you might say, well, that right there is one link, a link. And you can see a boat on the water, and you can say, well, that is a ship. You can see a person who has given their life to Jesus, and you would say, well, that is a Christian, a Christian. And then you might see what we have here today, and that is a church, one single church, one church. But then you had added to class, it was a little more difficult, but we started to get at the idea of plural nouns, that you could have two links. Or you could have two boats on the water, and then you have two ships. And then you have two people who believed and followed and obeyed Jesus, and you have Christians, and then you have two churches. All together, like you might think of Galatians chapter 1, when Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia. Well, in one region, there were different churches. You with me so far? Singular and plural. Then it got really messy. This is where the teacher had to go and repeat for me a little bit, because he had collective nouns, that you take those links and you put them all together, and now you have not links, now you have a chain, a relationship that is formed. And you take those ships, all those different ships, and you put them under the same country, the same command. And now you don't just have independent ships. Now you have a fleet of ships. And you take those Christians, a whole group of them, and they're not isolated and independent. They're all together under the same purpose and the same goal, under the same oversight of elders. And you put those together, and you have what we have defined as a church. That makes a church. Well, what do you have when you take churches and you connect them all together, and they're all connected, and they're all under the same oversight, the same organization, how does the Bible describe that? It doesn't. You begin from Matthew, and you go to the very end in Revelation, and you look about what everything God has said in His Word about churches, about the church, and that kind of an organized system of churches all together, interconnected in this kind of a denominational kind of way, simply doesn't exist. You will not find it. Because what you find on the pages of God's Word are independent, autonomous churches who simply did their work in their town, following one head, one Lord, and that was Christ. Now, that takes us to us today. Because as you drove in, or mom and dad drove in, you saw right out there on the sign, either way you came in, you couldn't come in without seeing it, because we have a sign outside that says the Campbell Road Church of Christ, or just Church of Christ that meets at Campbell Road. There's a couple of things we need to say, and we need to get it clear this morning. The name Church of Christ on the sign does not mean that we are part of any kind of organization, any kind of web, any kind of association with churches. That name is very biblical. Romans 16 and verse 16, Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. But churches of Christ found in Romans 16 and verse 16 is not a proper name. It is a title given to designate a relationship between Jesus and those people. And that's what it is for us out there, brethren. The name on the sign does not mean we are connected to all sorts of different churches across the country and the world, and we all teach the same things and believe the same things and practice the same things. The reason we have that name on the sign out there is to show the world and to remind you and I, we have one king, and that's Christ. We are his church. And so when we drive in and we see that name, we're not to think we as the churches of Christ, as some sort of an organized system, that we have a brotherhood and a sisterhood of churches, and we're all interconnected, and we all teach the same things wrong. No, that name means one thing. The people who meet here and worship here have one king, and that's Jesus. We are his people. We are a church of Christ. We could scrap the name. We could change the name. It's not going to change the fact we don't belong to a web of churches. We belong to the king. That's as far as that organization goes. So here's some things that means for us today. When it comes to you and I, when it comes to this church and determining what it is we're going to do, what work we're going to do, when it comes to our shepherds and deciding what work, what things this local congregation is going to be active in, it's not sticking our finger in our mouth, licking our finger, and holding it up and trying to determine which way the brotherhood wind is blowing. If I wonder what they would think. I wonder what that church would think. I wonder what that church is doing. I wonder what this well-known preacher would say or would think. If that's a determining factor for why we do what we do, we are looking in the wrong direction. In fact, we are heading in the wrong direction. Because let's make something clear today, folks. Brethren, we can be autonomous in our organization and yet be very denominational in our mindset and the way that we think and the way that we act. Church of Christ on the sign does not mean that we are an interweb of congregations all mixed and fitted together. It means this. It ought to be for us. It means that who we are, what we do, what we teach is determined by King Jesus. That's what that means. Now, can we be encouraged by other local congregations that exist today across the world? Certainly we can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, their faith is scattered across the world. People had heard about them. So can we be encouraged by things that other churches are doing? Sure, absolutely. Can we be too distracted by other churches that exist today? You better believe it. You know, you'll read Facebook is the hub of all preaching illustrations today. It used to be the local Walmart, and now you just got to get on Facebook, and it's all right there for you and a package detail. You're going to read on Facebook people who will say, we churches of Christ are too strict. We are too traditional. We are too stuck in the past. Now think of that phrase in light of what we've covered already this morning. We churches of Christ are too traditional. You're going to read that on Facebook. You're going to hear that in podcasts. We are too traditional. Who's we? Who's the we? Can you see the problem in those kind of statements? We are too traditional. We are too stuck in the past. You know something I did it this week? I had to add it up. I have been a part of 7 local congregations in my 34 years of living, 3 of which have been serving as an evangelist and a preacher. 7 local congregations. Do you know which of those 7 I can speak to you with clarity about the spiritual condition and where they stand before the Lord? 1. This one. Because I'm here and I'm with you. Which tells us this, brethren, to say all churches who have on their sign a name similar to ours, Church of Christ, are too traditional or too old-fashioned or too stuck in the mud, that is not a judgment call that you or I can make. There is one who determines whether the lampstand stands or falls, and it's not us. It's the Lord who bought it with his blood. And let's remind ourselves of something this morning. The name on the sign does not make a church right. A church is not right or wrong because of the name on the sign. A church is right because in word or deed they do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is what makes a church right. Let's just make something clear today, folks. Brethren, there is a serious danger that we are in today, all of us, when the words of men are more important to us than the words of God. That I would much rather hear what this brother has to say about the Bible than to hear the words of God themselves. I love there's a story of the famous orator G.K. Chesterton. He was a brilliant mind, but he was scattered in his thinking. He couldn't get anything organized together. So his wife did all of his scheduling. And so he would go and he would teach and he would preach, and his wife would just make sure all of his arrangements were together. Well, there was this one time he made it to Birmingham and he sent a telegram home, "Honey, I'm in Birmingham, just finished a lectureship, where am I supposed to be?" And she sent a message back, "Home." Home. I'm not about not being encouraged, good brethren, when there's good news to be shared. But maybe can I make an appeal this morning? In the midst of a time when it seems like through technology and social media, we can be so involved in the lives of other people, other places, so caught up in the news of what's going on in other churches, that maybe where it is we're needed the most is back home, is here. It's focusing on what's going on right here. What if we focused on less of what other churches are doing, on what they are thinking and how they are acting and how they're handling post-COVID and how they're reaching the world, and maybe we just focused on the work and worship right here. And instead of trying to make this local congregation like other churches that exist, let's just make this church the best that it can be. And if we got some complaints, there's some things that we feel like are missing, we feel like there's some things that could be better, what if we turned our complaints into opportunities? You know, I really feel like we're not as connected as well as we should have. You know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like you need to get some people in your home and invite them over. You know, I really wish our young people did more and were together. You know what I hear when I hear that? Sounds like you need to sign up and take the kids out to the park or to whirly ball. Or somewhere fun, or to have them over to your house. I wish we were more active in having Bible studies in the community. Sounds a lot like to me that you need to free up an evening in your weekend. You need to host a Bible study out in the community. What if we turned our complaints into opportunities? And what if instead of being so focused on what everyone else is doing, we focus on what it is that we can do to the best of our ability? And we focus on spreading the gospel here in Garland. Here in Richardson, here in Dallas. Can you see the difference in that thinking? Can you see how important it is to be discerning? Can you see how easy it is to be pulled into a denominational kind of mindset that we are all interconnected and we're all the same because we all have the same name on the sign? My brethren, I love the name on the sign because of what it means, but I would rather scrap the name on the sign if it meant that we understand what it is that we are, whose it is that we are. We don't belong to one another. We belong to the King. But you know, I was also thinking, it's amazing, isn't it, how through time and change, local churches come and they go. Right down the street from where we live in Wiley, there's a little farm area next to the firehouse. Any of you see this and they're turning it into a shopping mall area? There's some people that would make them really mad. And then there's some people you just realize that through the passing and the change of years, that farmlands come and they go. And cities develop and housing areas develop. And there are places all across the country that at one time or another, there used to be strong and vibrant churches. But because of change, because of economy shifting, those churches no longer exist. The members moved or the members grew old and they had to shut their doors. Churches come and churches go. And if we think that the Campbell Road Church will always exist, if the Lord waits and is patient for another 100 or so years, if we think this church will always exist because of how strong and vibrant it is, I think we're sorely deceived. That there'll come a time and things will change in Dallas. Perhaps like it did in Detroit. And this church will be just an empty shell, just an empty building of what used to be. But you know what never changes? you and I today are part of a church. And I don't mean this local group, and this local group is so special. We are a part of a family of believers, as Chuck prayed, of brothers and sisters who have been called out of darkness, who made that same confession. And we belong to a church that no time, no economical change, no darkness of hell could ever corrupt it. A church that will never come to an end. That's the precious thing this morning, brethren, is that this gathering, this small gathering, as we as a local family in Christ, should be just a foretaste of the greater church that exists, because there's going to come a time when we stand face to face with the King in the moment of worship with all the saved of all time everywhere, and that is a time and that is a place and that is a church that will never come to an end. And that's why we're here today. You've listened so well. That's all I have. And so we're going to end it here.